Welcome to the Moral and Ethical Leadership Podcast, hosted by the BYU Management Society Salt Lake Chapter. I'm Dave Austin.
And I'm Kurt Frankham.
And we hope you're all healthy and safe during this difficult time. We've been doing this podcast for about a year with our monthly luncheon speakers. And due to the crisis that we're currently in, we want to change it up a little bit. We want to start a new guest series called Voices of Light.
We know there are a lot of people suffering out there right now, whether it is physically, emotionally, or economically. And our hope is to bring you guests who can uplift, inspire, and have honest conversations with us. We'd like to have guest interviews on a somewhat regular basis and maybe even weekly. And hopefully this can help us all get through this together.
We're so grateful today to have someone with us who's an inspiration to so many, Colin Karcher. Colin, welcome. And thank you for being here with us.
Thank you, gentlemen, for having me. Appreciate that.
Colin, tell us about your message. Why is it so important to you?
I'm just a dad. I got four kids. I live here in Utah. Three girls and a boy going through the teenage years and preteen years. And so, parenting neck deep and all this stuff. I started a movement a few years ago called Save the Kids, which was actually kind of kicked off after finding a family member, our friend's daughter ended her life. Died by suicide, and long story short, as we talked about it, the mom opened my eyes big time to something I didn't realize was such a huge problem. Is she said, I didn't realize it, but when she was 13, I gave her a loaded gun. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she pulled out her daughter's phone, and she said, I gave her a loaded gun, and this took my child. And she told me all about that specific story with her daughter and how when she gave her that smartphone that something changed. She's like, my daughter grew up overnight. Like I lost my kid. And she started struggling with anxiety and depression. And she just flipped into this new child and just really, really struggling. And she was on her phone all the time, day and night. And her mom said, I just thought she was being a teenager. I thought this is what kids do. And then it led her down a path of just spiraling mental health and to the point where when she was about 20, she ended her life. And I shared that message to the people following me on social media. They were following me for something completely different. And I said, I can't believe this happened to a kid I knew. I thought that social media was just something parents and adults use. I didn't realize that parents were giving them to their kids at young ages because my kids weren't quite there yet. And for about 2 weeks, I was getting thousands of messages from parents and teenagers and kids and coaches and football coaches, cheer coaches, celebrities, anyone just saying, holy cow, like, can we talk about this now? That happened to my brother. That happened to my sister. That's happened to every kid on my cheer team. That's happened to half the kids at my school. Grandparents telling me about their grandson that had died from suicide. And they said, he was getting bullied on social media, on Snapchat or something. And so I was just sharing these messages, blocking out their names and sharing them. And it just opened up this huge Pandora's box where people were finally talking about this whole issue. And I realized no one was really doing anything about it. And I decided I would. And so I said, I'm going to start a movement. I'm going to call it Save the Kids because these kids need to be saved. And then from there, it just spawned into this big, huge thing where now I get to go out. I mean, before COVID, speak all over the place and talk at school assemblies and parent nights. And it's awesome because like literally it's like standing room only. The people really care about this message and be able to share what I find and, help parents and educate parents because that's the problem is this isn't the kids' problem. This is on parents. We need to wake up to what this technology, yeah, it's got good stuff, but what about the other side, the dark side, the stuff we don't want to know about? What are our kids being exposed to? And eliminate all the excuses that parents like to give themselves, like it's not my kid or it's not going to happen to them or I trust my kid or they're not going to see anything bad or, this is just the way the world is, so you just have to give it to them. I'm trying to fix that and bring parents closer to the kids to get on the same page so we can stop this madness, which is killing kids.
Yeah. And Colin, as you go into schools whatever venue it is that you have an opportunity to speak, I mean, how do you even begin to talk about this issue? Because it's easy. I mean, once you articulate it, the problem's obvious, but you just think, man, but it just seems so overwhelming. Where do you begin with all this?
So I first off, I'm on the kids' side, 100%. I go into this message when I talk to the kids and the parents and say, listen, look what it's like to be a kid today. I mean, imagine parents, right? Imagine if you're a parent listening to this, imagine being 13 again, right? That was like the hardest time for so many of us. We had no clue who we were. Life was already hard. We were emotionally the most unstable we've ever been. And we had, we worried about what our handful of friends thought about us and maybe a few kids at school. And we just went to school. We went to school and the bell rang and everything stopped, right? All the bullying or the peer culture or the stress of just like having to keep up with like friends and life and drama. That all stopped when the bell rang. But now everything's changed. We have created a world now for our kids where none of this stops for them. They have to do everything we did, plus have to maintain social media accounts. They have to worry about who's saying what about them. The bullying that ended at the bell now for them doesn't stop till 2 or 3 in the morning. And anything they say can be shared to the world. There's no respite. There's no place for these kids to feel safe anymore because of this technology. And it's really affecting their mental health. And then you throw in a lot of the problem is that the parents are more sucked into their own devices and their own social media and their own screens. Then now these kids are struggling big time. And then they need help and they need connection. And parents throw them a phone instead or say, hey, get on TikTok instead. Or, hey, go, here's YouTube, leave me alone. Because parents want to numb out too, because it's harder to be a parent. And so I go at this I bring humor into it. You know, I don't want to just like talk about how scary and how messed up this is. And then we all cry about it. Usually I just like try to make people realize like, you know, let's just laugh our way through this and then let's fix it. But 100% of this, none of this is on the kids. All the issues you read about, parents are like, how could my kid do that? Or how could kids do that? Or why are kids so addicted to their phone? Or why are they so addicted to Snapchat or their video games? Why are we? I mean, they're just following us. They're seeing what we as adults are doing and they don't hear us. They see us. And technology companies, it is the Wild West. There is literally no regulations and safeguards and no incentive for gaming and social media companies to slow down at all. I mean, they're making a killing off this by creating very addictive apps. They're doing it on purpose because they can, and no one and there's no regulation really. The regulation passed, the last one was in like mid-90s, and everything has changed since then. And so I talked to the kids. I believe they were victims of this whole thing. None of them wanted this. None of them wanted to be hooked to a screen. None of them wanted to do iPad learning all day. None of them wanted to have a life where they can't leave the house and mom just says, go downstairs and look at your iPad all day while me and your dad sit upstairs and look at our iPad and ignore you. They have become collateral damage to this whole broken system. And so I go at it trying to help the kids realize that if you want to fix this, don't wait for adults to fix it because they're not going to. You need to fix it. You need to get together your peers and say, okay, are we okay with this? I mean, were we sold a script that maybe wasn't the best for us? And like, why are we letting this continue? And then why don't you go out and fix it? And then you can do the best thing, which is then go help your parents get unhooked too. So,
Colin, what you're doing is awesome. And it takes, I can imagine, a huge amount of energy. Can you share with us any good experiences you've had from it and maybe some good things that have come out of what you're doing?
Oh yeah. What really keeps me going, cause it's emotionally exhausting every day, but what really keeps me going is that and ironically enough, I use my Instagram account to share this stuff. I think there's a great way to use these platforms as tools to spread information. And so I've been using Instagram. That's where I post all the stuff I find. And when I go and speak at schools, a lot of those kids will follow me and they will listen to what I'm saying and they'll see what I'm posting. And then they message me and they will tell me, you know, Colin, you're the first person that has come here on our page, on our side, and actually finally connected with us and helped us see what was really going on. And these kids tell me, like, not just the message changed their life, but like literally saved the life. I mean, I don't know how many countless hundreds of kids that have said, I was suicidal. I was ready to end my life. I didn't even know why I was so depressed. And it wasn't until you helped me realize that it was everything on my phone that was doing it to me. It was everything on social media. I was letting this happen to me while my parents were clueless upstairs on playing Candy Crush. And so getting those messages is what I really care about. Hearing the kids say that I've helped them through what I've said become free. That's the word they always say. You know, I finally deleted Snapchat, or I deleted TikTok, or I deleted, you know, Instagram, or I unfollowed all the accounts that were making me miserable. And they say the same thing. They say, I finally feel free. It's this feeling of they have been prisoners to this technology and no one's come in and set them free. And so being able to do that is by far the most amazing feeling ever. I could do this forever. The kids are mentioning and saying this stuff to me. And then the parents, I love too, hearing the parents say, you know what, I really had no idea. And now I do. And I've made changes. You know, we've decided to wait and delay giving our kids these smartphones or delay getting them access to social media. Or I finally talked to my son about his pornography, you know, his issue with pornography. It finally opened up with me. And now we have a path to heal, to help him heal. And we're connecting again. Those are the things that really, really keep me going.
Yeah. And I'm curious, you know, we're recording this in a political season right now. And you know, it seems like the ugly parts of social media from the adult perspective, and I'm sure the kid perspective well, but it just gets emphasized and highlighted. And I'm to the point that which is a good thing. I've sort of avoided the scroll, right? If I catch myself scrolling on the phone, I'm doing something wrong, but you know, there's various other ways to use it that are benefit. But any advice you'd have for adults out there who maybe they sort of depend on, you know, social media to be up to date with news and current events and these things. And again, I'm not arguing that's the best way, but sometimes that's just how we've done it. Any advice for social media and phones in this political season?
For sure. Well, number one, I think one of the biggest things is unfollow the accounts you follow on Twitter or Facebook that are just making you mad. The media understands this better than anyone, that headlines that make you mad or afraid are what gets people to click. And if you don't believe me, just go to CNN or Fox News or any of those ones. And every headline is just, they shouldn't even call it the news. They should just call it like, here's what's wrong today, right? And so go find sources that just give you the news. That's not just people trying to freak you out and trying to get you mad because that gets you to click on their, you know, click on their ads and make them money. And try to limit it to like half an hour. There's some really cool apps. I know you can do it with Screen Time if you have an iPhone. There's an app called Moment that you can download where you can give yourself a limit on apps. So you can say, you know what, give me 30 minutes on Twitter or 30 minutes on Facebook, and then it will lock you out for the day. And so it's training your adult brain, even rewiring the adult brain to say, you know what, as opposed to just grazing, you know, that's why they call it a feed. How fast are you eating this knowledge? How fast are you consuming this information? Yeah. Are you just grazing and chewing Twitter for 3-4 hours a day? You know, I got a Facebook couple months ago because I found myself during COVID, like just scrolling Facebook, you know, scroll past all the happy photos and the happy comments, just trying to find someone who was mad or something I could get mad about, some kind of political post or something. And so when I realized I was doing that, I'm like, you know what, I'm done with this for a while. So set limits for yourself. Try to say, you know what, I'm going to wake up, get to work. I'll give it a half hour before work, you know, 30 minutes, get what I need and get off. Unfollow the accounts that are making you feel like so stressed out. It'll be amazing. You'll find it change how you parent. You'll find it change how you treat your spouse. You know, it's hard to be in a happy home when dad or mom is so ticked off because of what's happening in the world that we don't have a whole lot of control over. And so we got to have a lot of personal check-ins, right? Am I letting this affect me? You know, am I following accounts that like are all conspiracy theories that are just freaking me out and now no one wants to talk to me at family dinner anymore? Or am I just getting the information and then processing it myself and then taking what I need and the rest I don't really need? And I just always say, make it a goal. If you're a parent, make it a goal right now to stay off your phone in front of your kids as best as you can. I know sometimes we got to do it with work and whatever, but try to avoid the mindless numbing scrolling or game playing in front of your kids, because if you think you're stressed out right now, your kids are stressed out and they might not tell you and they're really good at hiding it, but they are stressed out and this world is crazy for them too. And they need connection more than anything right now. Even if they don't act like they want to be close to you, they really do. And so try to put the phone away in front of the kids, try and set up no tech times and, you know, no phones at dinner. And when we go out, you know, whatever we're doing, no phones out and really focus on them because that's what they really want. They want you. They want your time.
I'm just scribbling notes like crazy over here, Colin, and I appreciate everything you're saying. I'm a dad too, as you are. We follow you on social media as well. I don't know if you can see that, but that was one of your posts that I can tell my dad.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little bit dark, but that anyway,
a good one.
Talk just a little bit about the importance of being able to talk with your kids and what to do as a parent so that your kids feel comfortable talking with you.
Yeah, so I think the best point of advice, besides get off your phone in front of your kids so they realize that you care more about them than your phone, because that's what they tell me, right? They don't really care what you're doing. You could be making money to take them to Disneyland. If you have the phone out in front of them, all they feel is that phone means more to my dad than I do. And so get the phone away from it, you know, yourself when you're in front of your kids. But as far as like another tip of advice, don't freak out. You know, your kids aren't perfect. And even if you think they are, they're not. And don't fall into NMK, the not my kid syndrome, where it's like, you know what, my kid's never going to have a problem. They're never going to mess up. I can trust my kid. They're going to screw up. They're going to make mistakes and they need guidance. They need you to be their parent first and not their friend first. And they need you to coach them. And so when they come to you because they messed up, or when you find they messed up, don't freak out, because parents, like, understand, if we all had this technology when we were in high school, if we had Snapchat, if we had Instagram, we would do the same stupid things that they're doing with it. Like, absolutely. And so don't freak out. When they come to you, just, you know, they need you to listen. And that's the thing the kids tell me the most. I just wish my parents would listen. I wish they'd just listen to me. I wish they would put their phone down and just ask me about my day and really care about what I'm going through. Like, really, our problems as Gen Zers might not be a big deal to them, because, you know, what they went through walking uphill in the snow to school twice, back and forth, whatever, barefoot, you know. My problem of the fact that my phone charger isn't long enough, I actually have to get up out of bed to plug it in, might not be a big deal to you, but to them, that's their Mount Everest. And so take what they're saying as a big deal. And when you don't freak out, they will come back to you. If you freak out, you know, you find out your kid's looking at porn, or you find out they sexted a friend at school, or some guy they found on Snapchat. And if you freak out in shame, what you just told them is, hey, don't ever tell me about this ever again, and just hide it better. And that's all they're going to do. You're going to just create more distrust where they're not going to want to come to you. And if kids don't feel like they can go to mom and dad when they want to learn something, or they heard something and they want to ask questions, or if they made a mistake, if they don't feel like they can go to mom or dad, who are they going to go to? They're going to go to someone on the internet, right? They're going to learn about porn from the porn sites, or they're going to talk to friends on Snapchat, or maybe someone who pretends they're their age and, you know, sees that they're struggling and then comes in and starts talking to them and saying, hey, I'm here for you. And then it turns out that that's not someone you want your kids to talk to, and it's some predator, which happens all the time. And so just don't freak out, and just ask them, you know, do check-ins. Don't just say, hey, how was your day? Oh, it's fine. Boop, check, parenting done. Let them know by your actions that you're there for them and that they can come to you. In fact, our house, where I have four kids, my oldest is in ninth grade, I've told them when we have the porn talks all the time, and I say, hey, we don't do any phones. There's no social media. There's no phones for these kids yet. And I say, hey, if not if, but when you see something at school or at a friend's house, or, you know, your friend scrolling through TikTok, and when you see something bad, if you come and tell me, not only am I not going to get mad, and I'm not going to shame, I'm not going to consequence you, I will take you to go get an ice cream cone. Like, I want my kids, I want to incentivize them to be open with me. And that wouldn't work. And they're very open with me. They tell me everything they see. That wouldn't work if I was getting mad and freaking out and overreacting. And so I don't know if that helps, but that's just a couple tidbits.
I know a lot of parents, they'll use, you know, use the phone as sort of the leverage point of discipline.
And, oh, yeah.
Right. And so, and you gave a few examples of that. Any other ways that we can sort of remove that from the discipline? Like, it should even be in the conversation when we're talking discipline?
You know, sadly, a lot of parents unwillingly and unknowingly did something horrible where they made the phone or the Xbox or the DS, they made that their only pawn in their parenting game. Because from an early age, when you hand your kid a phone, what you're saying to them is, you're saying, I trust you with the internet. I trust you with the whole world in your pocket. And then they hit their brother the next day, and you pull it away and you say, oh, you hit your brother. Now I don't trust you anymore with what I just gave you. And then you pull it back. And then after a long day, you say, oh, I just want to go watch some TV or some Netflix. So you give the kid the phone back and you're like, you know what? I trust you again. And then they flunk a math test and you pull it back and you say, I don't trust you anymore. And in that dance, what you are confusing your kid. And what you're doing is you're mistakenly making that phone the most important thing in their life. Because if this is the only thing my mom can do to threaten to give or reward to give back, is the only way that she can use to get me to do anything, that's a very slippery slope. We're putting too much emphasis on the value of this device. My ninth grader, I asked her every couple of weeks, a couple months. I'm like, hey, are you okay with no phone? Like, I mean, are you hating me at all? Like, what if I gave you a phone today? And she's like, I don't even care. I don't even want one. Like, what would I even use it for? Just text friends. So she can text friends on mom's phone. Because we have not been making this phone such an important value, you know, piece of value, you know, the value attached to it. And so if you're doing that, what do you do? If your kid, if you feel like the only way I can get this kid to wake up on time or do his chores is to threaten Xbox takeaway or threaten to take away Fortnite, have a conversation with them. Sit down with them and say, listen, kiddo, I want to talk to you about this. I feel like I have made a huge mistake parenting you. And that is the fact that I've made this game that you play way too important. And I made too big of a deal. I made your phone too big of a deal. And I don't like what's happening. I don't like how it's separating us. And so I want to talk to you about this and ask your kid, how do you feel about what's going on? How do you feel about how much time you're on your phone or how much time I'm on my phone? You know, what could I do better as a parent? I think one of the best things you can do to kids today is apologize and to admit mistakes as parents. It's okay to say, you know what? I messed up with your brother. I gave him an Xbox in his room and a phone. He was 12. Now he's 18 and he's like still in the basement and he's not going to college and you've seen how bad he smells. I'm not going to I messed up. I made a mistake and I need to fix it for you. So when your kid says, well, you gave Billy a phone, he's 18. Why can't I have one? You say, because I had no idea what I was doing when Billy was around, right? He was guinea pig child. And we didn't know what this technology could do. And so don't be afraid to apologize to your kids and say, you know what? I messed up. I apologize to my kids probably every day and anything I messed up that day. And let them know that you're human and that it's okay for them to be human too. But don't use this as the device. Don't make the phone the reward and the punishment. Try and do anything else but the phone. I've seen too many parents in tears because their kid have attempted suicide or died from it because mom just only, because she just took the phone away. You know, after they flunked a test or they hit their brother or something bad happened or a fight and the mom said, you know, I'm taking your phone away. And now that kid's gone because that's how addicted they were to each other, to their friends and to the feelings that they get on the phone. These kids aren't addicted to phones. They're addicted to the feeling and the connection that the phones give them and the addiction to the apps. And so I don't know if that helps, but just anything you can do to make this not as important. Hey, do you have your phone? Make sure you have your phone. Do you have your phone? Do you get your phone? I mean, those conversations never happen here. Because they don't have, we use a Gab phone, which is a really cool thing for kids who, if you don't want them to get on the internet or get games. But most of the time, they don't even take it to school because they're like, you know, I don't really need this. It's not a big deal. But that all comes from us. Kids aren't, if we let them, if we give them the phones, we give them social media, we give them this very addictive technology, they're not fully baked in their brain till about mid-20s. And so 12, 13, they're halfway there. They're going to mess up. They're not going to know how to process a lot of this stuff. They're going to make horrible decisions with that technology. And that's the other sad part is the problems and the mistakes we made in junior high, everyone forgot about in an hour. Now them, it never, ever goes away. I mean, it's on the school Snapchat page. It's on an Instagram account and it will follow them for potentially some of these kids the rest of their life. And that's a scary place to be for a kid.
Well, Colin, we're so appreciative of you. We really appreciate the time that you've taken to talk with us today. For your message, especially for the emotional energy that you put into this every single day. Thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
And thank you to all of our listeners. We'll be back again next week with another episode of Voices of Light. Have a great day.